Here's a special bonus episode of The Horrible Show Live. Enjoy the aftermath as we react to our Death in Video Games discussion and take live questions from our chat audience.
Back, we're back.
That was dark.
Yeah, we got
dark.
I'm
shit.
Sorry. It was about
death.
At least I'm honest. It's more than I can say for you guys.
What?
Oh, I
wait,
Burton.
Wait,
Barry. Actually, I know you actually.
He
have
honestly
a deep
wants to kill me.
Yeah. Good thing we. Yeah.
At least I'm honest.
I'm lying about killing or loving Barry Burton, but you're honest about this guy's eyeballs.
Maybe I had that reversed.
Yeah, I think so. What?
I don't think I would have a problem killing a human that was threatening my life.
Well, no one would.
But I would never, ever, ever push someone's eyes in for making me die in Spelunky. Unless
at least that's
it
off.
Happened again.
What if the air? What if the life of one of your friends was on the line? What if I'm hanging from like a stalagmite and
over a tub of goo?
Yeah, and you have to save me, and you're about to do it, and then somebody fucks you up.
I would put my hand through a man's chest.
I like that. Makes me feel good.
Punch straight through a fucking rib cage.
Through his heart.
No, I would not hesitate at all.
I wouldn't either. I would. You know what? I would murder a million army dudes for you guys if they were coming at me.
You were gonna say children.
I almost did. I almost did. Woo! Yeah. Woo! Dodge that one. Yeah, and I meant bad guy armies, not good
guy
armies.
Not like the United States army.
No, because
there are no bad guys in the United States military.
Good guy armies like the ones from Star Wars. The Empire.
Yeah. I mean bad guy. You said good guy. But you
I meant bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys and then orcs. Those are bad guy armies.
Yeah.
I'd fight. Oh, you go fuck them up.
Because I think orcs inbreed, which are kind of like clones, and all the stormtroopers are clones.
That's where they freaking...
If you're grown in basically a glorified mason jar, guess what? You're fair game for my fucking thumbs. I'll push you in, bitch.
What about What about Travolta's Bubble Boy? Is that the same thing? He wasn't born in that.
When we were talking about the quick time events for closing Barry's eyelids, there was also the push the button to push in the eyes.
In the chat? Yeah.
Good night, sweet prince.
I didn't see who made the comment.
Okay, so do we have some all-star? Can we give some shout-outs to the chat? Because
we had a good crew in chat tonight.
Yeah. What are all-star comments?
But Viridian's worried that we hate Europeans.
What?
I'm moving to Europe.
And that's what I said. We're sending Ethan to Europe.
Did I do something?
I'm not sure where that
you
came
have
from.
Like a you hate European attitude.
He just hates. He's a sociopath.
It's not that we hate Europeans. It's that Josh is a sociopath. That is.
Hey, you guys are in the room with him right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but
I thought you were in that. See, it's the paint color on the walls.
He might Dexter the shit out of you guys.
Oh, yeah. I could take him. I'll choke you out.
I mean, you might, but then again, there's always a chance. The puncher's chance, so
your
to speak.
Your spirit would come out from you if I did kill you, and it would push my eyes in. I'd almost rather you be alive, because then you don't have, like spirit powers. Maybe that's a good thing. We need to keep you alive. And then when you die, I'm going to seal you in concrete.
Like I told somebody one time. Like when I before the fight didn't happen, but I said you better kill me. I said it, I was crazy.
Yeah.
They didn't fucking start the fight.
No,
they actually backed off. It worked. And the part of me actually meant it. I was like,
oh yeah.
If he doesn't knock me out, I'm gonna try to kill him.
Oh.
It was bad. It was a bad situation though too.
Yeah, but that's a good way to get out of a fight.
Or yeah, really it works. And afterwards, I was like, oh shit, oh my god.
I usually
at the time, I'm like.
See, I usually say, you better get prepared for your penis to be touched. And they won't fight. Because I'm cheap, man.
No, this comment was based on what time we air our live shows. It's 2 a.m. in Holland, which apparently, we're going to be doing the live shows.
You know what?
Ethan has committed to doing live shows Germany.
From Germany, yeah. So 2 o'clock, we'll be in the,
I've already made the promise, you're going to stream while in Germany at a more friendly hour.
Oh, yes. So I absolutely will.
You know what, though? You're going to have to find places that have really good internet, like Wi-Fi, and you're going to have to take laptops out there. Because we're going to need you to have like an earpiece and a microphone.
Oh yeah.
And like look like a correspondent, but really just have like a laptop set on a table.
Mm-hmm. No,
and,
like, I can
have no one with you. There's no camera crew. It's just a webcam.
I went to school for correspondency. I'm the best. Some say.
Do you have like a trench coat, raincoat, and stuff? Because you need to do this in all weather.
Mm, raincoat or trench coat?
Aaron wants to know if you're going to start blending in fashion-wise in Germany.
Oh, man. I wish. People dress way better than I do. I mean, when I went to visit Germany, I looked like shit.
How did they dress? What did they look like?
It's not over
Americans
the top.
Americans?
No. They look like they're fashionable, but not over the top. You know,
explain like what the average, okay, wait, first.
I was looking at
the average
girls.
American. What's the average American look like?
Fat.
What do they wear? T-shirt, jeans, tennis shoes.
T-shirt, jeans.
Yeah,
the
maybe?
Average American?
Yeah.
Oh. T-shirt, jeans?
Yeah.
Okay, that's average.
Yeah. Maybe. And so what do the average German have?
A lot more slacks. More tucked in shirts.
Oh, okay.
Some ties. Skinny ties, thin ties.
Oh.
They look good.
Nice.
Because,
I hate fat ties, but all I have is fat ties.
That's all I have, too. Because you can't wear a skinny tie.
You can't find them, either.
You've got to be a certain size to wear a skinny tie.
No, what do you mean?
I look really even fatter when I have a skinny tie.
Really?
I do.
That means I'm going to look mega fat.
No, I think you'd look good with a skinny tie.
How much do you weigh?
200.
Me, too.
Yeah. Maybe we both would.
Justin's like the skinny one in the room. How does that make you feel?
He gamed his ass off, and it gamed its way to my thighs. I'm a little bit upset about that.
Yeah, don't play co-op with him. That's what happens. It's like losing all your lives and taking other guys.
You don't ask a person in the middle of a diet about their body image right now, so I've still got a ways to go.
You weigh less than us.
Yeah, you do. I'm shorter.
It's got to make you feel good.
I've got a ways to go still. I'm not ready to feel good
not
yet.
Ready to put on what? That banana hammock yet?
If I feel you good, should. I'll get lazy. And it'll all come right
oh,
back.
Oh, you look like shit. Yeah. I was going to say, you look good.
But, Ethan, I know you've been also changing
Josh,
your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Thanks, Cole.
What are you doing about making your ass fit into Europe? Because you've made some comments.
You know what?
He wrote multiple times about how wonderful the butts are in Europe.
I am not. Oh. I'm going to go in knowing...
Snake-like?
Euro butts. Oh, yeah. Shake it.
Like, right now, my butt, for American standards, is a mediocre butt. Okay? It just is. There's some good German butts. I saw a lot of them. Concentration. And they look great. I'm not going to be able to...
You probably shouldn't say concentration in Germany.
Oh. I didn't... God. Okay. Everyone know what I meant. Great. I'm the one that's moving over there. Now everyone thinks I'm an asshole. No. But my butt is going to be like people are going to be... The level I want to get to with my butt is you could do better. Like, I want to get to the level where people say that. People aren't like appalled by it, but they can say you could do better.
No one's going to think like,
you
oh,
could
his
tighten
ass.
It up. You could tighten it up a little bit. Yeah.
You only need to please one person.
I know, but...
And that's me.
I know, and I don't... You just don't look at me the same way anymore. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this isn't a thing to talk about live, but...
It's because I know I'm not going to be able to look at it much longer. So I just... I don't want to... I feel like if I say goodbye now, I won't miss you as much.
That always works.
Well, yeah.
You're gonna get so emotional when I leave. You're going to bawl.
I'm going to sing
your last
some fucking
Whitney
Houston. Interesting.
Oh, don't.
I mean, not right now. I mean, the last night
oh,
I see
don't,
you.
Oh, I'm going to bawl if you do that. I hope we all cry at the last show.
Our last show, but...
Well, it's not really my last show either. Well, then...
What if you die on the
plane we'll
or
have,
something?
Then oh, then great. Josh
thanks,
and I,
Jinx
like,
ass.
No, I mean like an aneurysm.
Oh, yeah, that's what you meant. Well, that would suck, though.
Then Josh and I are going to conduct a live reality podcast searching for your replacement.
Oh, can I be the final judge? A little sassy?
We'll start
that's
with,
not me.
Instead of Rogue.
That's not
no, no,
me.
No, no, because you're dead.
Oh, if I die. Or is it...
Wait, what do you...
I'm just...
We're replacing our dead podcast partner.
Josh threatened to kill Ethan, now.
Actually,
no,
are you indirectly
threatening... Yeah, I caused an aneurysm.
You could, with your if you get your...
It's not like I cut a hose on the plane or something before it took off.
You motherfucker.
You just use ricin or something.
You guys want to play some video games?
Yeah, ricin. Video games.
Video games.
Yeah, I'll play.
Yeah, I like
whatever.
Video games.
Or we can sit here and talk.
Yeah.
Ask the people what they want.
What do you want?
Or ask them what we're going to play.
Oh, well, then I guess
we yeah. Are these guys going to talk?
I guess we're tired of hearing us talk.
Yeah, that's right.
I think first up, we're going to play some... Do we want to play Unepic or do we want to play Omegalodon?
Oh, shit.
What are we going to... We're going to smile about both of them, but in two different ways.
I think we start with Unepic.
Well, that's pretty unepic.
You know what? Here's the deal. We should... Whatever we do, we should keep this going while I set some shit up.
Yeah, I think... Yeah. Well, Cole, are you going to hang out or you got to go?
No, I'm going to go.
All right.
Hey, see you, Cole.
I'll see you in chat, though.
All right. We'll see you in chat.
So, okay, what do you think, audience?
Bye, Cole.
Bye.
Omegalodon or Unepic?
I'm thinking Unepic first because Omegalodon has, like, it's more of open world. We can keep playing that after, like, for a while. We can just kind of mess around in it. And Unepic may just be kind of like a game curious.
We might get too deep into
it.
True.
Yeah.
Okay,
but I think Megalodon's a good hangout type of game.
So, do we want to explain what it's about?
We can talk
about
it.
You guys do that. I'm gonna do some stuff.
Okay.
So I'll talk to you guys in a bit.
Oh, Megalodon!
Can you get Ethan and I at different camera angle there?
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Or we can. That's what the Google Hangout screen looks like when they hang up.
Oh yeah,
the Google Hang Up screen.
That looks good. I like that. I like the Google Hang Up screen. So, Megalodon. You can buy it now on Desura for
$10.
$10, and it's giant shark versus everyone.
Yeah, it's Josh compared it to one of our old favorite PC games, Giants Citizen Kabuto. That it looks like they've just kind of used the multiplayer mode of that. Where so it's an open world game. You basically are the military. One team's the military, and one team's controlling this giant shark monster. That is essentially like Godzilla, and all the environments are destructible, and you're trying to stop Omegalodon from getting to a nuclear power plant.
It's got a little bit of Body Harvest in it too, for those of you that like that, because you can pop in between different vehicles
and
stuff.
I would even say Blast Corps with all the vehicles.
Oh, but wow.
You wrote an article on... One of your first articles was...
My very first article on the site was Body Harvest Remake It So, which
man,
I cannot
really
believe
need
they still have
that
done.
Game.
One other was, what game has come out recently, or they previewed it, Tank looks like it has a hint of that, though I do not believe you're going to be able to get out of that tank.
I don't even care, because it's called Tank, and I'm going to play it.
Oh, yeah. If it was gun.
Actually, it's more like, Tank!
Yeah, there's exclamation points at the end of it, though. And I think everyone can agree, Body Harvest needs to be remade. The fact that it has not been remade yet makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah, maybe it could have a little bit more... Yeah, the game was...
Oh, so much potential. But Omegalodon, it's a more of a multiplayer type game.
Yeah.
So, now, did we see whether or not there was a single player component to it? Do we know that?
I don't think so.
We're going to find out.
Maybe. That's what we can do on these live shows.
We find things out. We help you, and then you can help yourself. That's the key. That's the first step, I think. Out of seven. So.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Is that the...
What are you doing? Are you putting Gutenberg in the background?
Look at that guy. Police Academy, anyone?
It's not Josh is working his magic on our transition screen here.
It looks really good. Josh knows transitions.
Oh, right. I'm going to get relaxed here. Chat, you got any questions for Ethan and I, or about our podcast, about the site, or about the games we're about to play, feel free to shoot them our way.
Even our personal lives, if you really want to know.
It's fine. We need that camera readjusted anyway. We've got a shot on Ethan, and then... Yeah, Ethan, can you move that around to get more of a direct shot on myself?
Yes.
Ooh.
You got it?
Sure thing.
Keep going. Oh, now it's my, so there's an image of me.
Future Cop LAPD. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
We're not playing that.
We don't have a PlayStation 1.
Future Cop LAPD. What was that? Time Cop. I'm thinking of the John Claude Van Damme joint.
Sometimes you get movies confused.
Oh, I do. There's all kinds of... Everything's a... You know, you put cop in anything, it works out.
Yeah, so we've been trying to think about... These game nights on Tuesdays, we've been doing a lot of Game Curious videos lately, and we've been playing a bunch of different games, but trying to get some games to just kind of hang out and play, maybe every other week. Definitely interested to see which format works the best for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Fun games. You know, we don't want to get too invested in them in the middle of the night, you know? Some games, sometimes we find ourselves playing a game where, like, we really like this, and it's kind of tough to really like a video game and get into it, and then also stream at the same time, so... but hey, that's how you discover fun. So, and anybody that has a PC, you do really need to get Desura. It's similar to Steam. It's more.
You don't really get it.
Well, the client. Download the client. Okay. Yeah. Download the client. Steam does good. I mean, Steam's got some solid indie games, but probably higher level indie games. I think, Desura's probably got the advantage because there's a lot more, alpha and beta type stuff that you can kind of get involved with. And these are smaller, a lot of them are smaller developers too. So, and there's some badass games.
Copper Skull, I'm disappointed that you can't recognize our man Steve Gutenberg in the background of our video right now.
He doesn't know who that is.
No. Can you actually explain what Gutenberging means? Because you guys mentioned it on the podcast a lot, and I barely feel like I understand it.
Okay, well, actually, there's...
When you get Gutenberged, or you Gutenberg someone.
Okay, so there's actually... Well, I'll start by explaining that, and I'll go into actually what the Matt Hiddle definition of a Gutenberg is. It's actually a game that you can play called the Gutenbergian Clearance Game, but we'll talk about that later. But the Gutenberg is when... And it's more of a, more of a media-type action where you... do everything possible to make somebody think that you're going to toss it to them,
mm-hmm.
and then you toss it to the other guy.
Mm.
Only works when there's more than two people, though. If you do it with two people, you just kind of look like an asshole. The Gutenbergian clearance game is basically naming as many celebrities as possible that can walk underneath one of those parking garage height limit signs. Okay. Because Steve Gutenberg can do that.
Oh, because he's short.
No, he's actually a
normal sized man.
He's a normal sized man. So yeah, it's a fun game to play with your friends because you can't lose. You can. No, I literally can't.
Name George Murison. Damn it.
Yep. Okay, you lost, and it's tough to lose. But if you lose, you actually kind of win. I think. I don't know. Hard to explain. But yeah, we love Gutenberg.
I don't know why. I always say Manute Bol.
Oh, did he ever act?
I don't think so.
He should have. No, yeah, he did. What was that? Kevin Bacon was in a movie.
Oh, the Manute Bol, though.
Wasn't it a basketball player where he went to
it
Africa?
It was a basketball movie, but it wasn't an actual play.
It wasn't an actual play. I mean, that guy was tall, though.
Jimmy Dolan's Shake and Bake is in the movie.
Wow.
I can't remember the name of the movie, though.
Chat, can you help us? What is the name
Kevin
of the movie?
Kevin Bacon basketball movie where he gets the African basketball player.
Yeah. And they're playing, in a tribal village, they're playing some b-ball.
It's how they decide... something important with tribal territory in that movie.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. He has to play in that game before he can bring him back to play at St. Joe's.
Oh, it was a college movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. What the hell was that?
Gosh.
The air up there. Thank you, Copper Skull.
Nice.
Well done.
I wanted to say Blue Chips, but that was Shaquille O'Neal, Nick
Rolfing. It was right around the same time, though.
Yeah. So they went a different direction.
Air up there.
that was a good movie. It's been a long time.
They should combine that with the Air Bud movies.
Oh, shit.
The Air Bud up there.
The Air Bud up there. Did you ever watch those movies? The Air Bud series?
No, I never watched any of them. Doesn't he have a family? And they're all like the best athletic dogs in the history?
Of all time, yeah. Basically, they played football and basketball. I think one of them played hockey. One of them played badminton, but that movie didn't do all that well. I made that up. Completely made that up. So, this is... behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. People like this. What
didn't make it on the show for you tonight?
What didn't make it on the show?
As far as gaming death stuff. Any?
Oh, man.
I know. I got something for me. I was going to talk about, and I've talked about this on other shows, but my fear of death, my playing, it actually came up when I was looking at Iron Brigade's getting ready to come out for PC.
Mm-hmm.
And just... that game intimidates me for whatever reason. I don't like to play it because I don't like to die in that game. It's not like an emotional thing, but I physically feel like I have failed the level, I have failed the game if I die in those games.
It's a time investment thing, not unlike, a character dying that you really were attached to. Like those tower defense type games, and Orcs Must Die has this kind of, aspect too, is you spend a lot of time setting this shit up, and then when you die, that sucks because you have to redo everything. And one little thing, Iron Brigade was kind of notorious for this, is if you didn't set things up correctly, you were fucked. And if you didn't have the right mech, if it wasn't equipped properly, you were basically fucked. Well, I was looking at my notes, and sometimes I sketch stuff in here that's really weird. So I said, Princess Peach should die. It says, Princess Peach dead. I don't know what I meant by that, but she.
Well, I think one thing we didn't get to was.
Oh, who do you want to die?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, that makes more sense.
You want to die?
It makes more
Princess
sense.
Princess Peach, but first one to go with.
I don't know why I want to. The other thing is, a game that had some really epic deaths, but epic deaths that you caused would be Red Faction Armageddon, especially when you're kind of using the magnet gun and that kind of stuff. Because if you kind of like, you know, you attach it to a bunch of stuff in front of you, you attach it to stuff behind you, and there happens to be lava somewhere in between, and you just knock yourself into lava, that always was a big kick in the ass, but it looked cool. It looked cool. And then, I mean, how far did you get into Battlefield 3 all that much?
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think so. Well, there was times where you'd be on a, you know, some of the base destruction or some of the, you know, destruction and dying. I didn't like to get shot as much, but I thought it was always cool when like a building crumbled on top of me or someone like flew a helicopter into my face. That was always cool.
I like it when people fly helicopters into my face.
Yeah, well, and there's some people that, you know, people didn't like that if you played in a really competitive game, but it looked awesome every single time. And then causing death in that game though really pissed people off.
Question from chat, who will give you the best superpower when they die? Besides Metal Man, which is the obvious correct answer.
We're going back to the, my cat scuffles.
What superpower does your cat possess that would pass on to you?
Being a model. My cat is a show cat.
Okay.
She hasn't done a show yet. She's amateur. But I feel like if she died, I would be able to finally live out my dream of being a male model. She's sassy. She's thin. She vomits all the time. She's got a luxurious coat, like a fur coat, and beautiful eyes. The ability to model.
Okay, so at first I thought you meant that she was holding you back, but you would actually get some of these skills from her.
Oh, you mean actually... I thought you meant the transference of skills.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Okay. If she's giving you those skills, then yes, you could finally fulfill your male modeling career.
Oh, man. I would love
that. Because obviously you're not vomiting enough.
No, what? I'm not.
Who's buying these fun games? Me?
Buy them on mine. I'll buy them on mine because I want what you I want both. Epic,
so.
Yeah. I want both of them.
Okay.
You do?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do.
So yeah, just so you know, we're not getting codes for these games.
No. Well, you know, but we've kind of taken there is sort of a reason for that.
Yeah.
Codes, I mean, it's not like I think the impression is people get like, "Oh, codes just get handed out all the time." Sometimes they do, but we actually when it comes to like kind of the indie type games, it feels better to actually purchase a game because we're supporting developers, we're supporting the type of games we like, and that's kind of, you know, that's a stance we actually have taken more recently.
Mm-hmm. Before I get to that, Viridian had a good point. Your cat also has the superpower to lick things, so that would be...
I already have that superpower.
But
ice cream.
But no, we had a couple conversations about how to handle... review codes for indie games, and just because those games are much more affordable than getting, it's a little different than getting review codes for full releases, the $60 games that that's just something we want to kind of approach these indie games. We want to be free to approach these indie games and actually have our initial reactions to them versus feeling any obligation. Mm-hmm. Once we receive those codes, and it's kind of actually spread across that we haven't really accepted review codes for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. We had some initial reviews of the site for some larger games that those weren't really affected. But when it came down to the indie games, it was not something we were really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
I know your mic's not on.
You know what?
I'll be right back. But yeah,
So you can get to a point where you're say. You know, like you're a big enough site, you get enough traffic that everyone pays attention to you, and I'm talking about publishers, where they're gonna give you games, somebody's mm-hmm. gonna send you the shit, you're gonna get it early, right? So they want to see reviews. If the game is something they think is gonna be a hit, they want to see the reviews go up like right before the game comes out, so everyone's talking about it, right? I mean, you guys know this. However, if you're not quite big enough to be on that list,
yeah,
you don't really get that kind of, like, they're not just like sending you games. But here's the thing. If you're not quite there to the point where you're going to get all the shit early, like if you don't plan to buy your own fucking games, like then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Like if you're trying to get like, "Oh, I'm going to get some free games,"
right.
You know, like, dude, you're already done. And I see it so much. I see it all the time. I'll follow a lot of different game developers, mm-hmm. a couple of publishers, that kind of thing. And I'll see on there, I'll see somebody, like I'm using like the Twitter app on like Mac, right? And you click on somebody's name, you click the little at symbol. It shows you everyone that's talking about them. And I'll see, cause I want to know like what people are saying about sometimes about stuff that they tweet. And if you look, and I for whatever reason, like I want to see the worst of people. It's like go to CNN.com or something like that. And then like look at like comments on a news story and like see all the idiots. Just like people posting just like nastiness, vitriol, like just like terrible things. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you this mad? You're sitting there posting shit on the internet. Yeah, but this for my entertainment is why. but you'll see people posting like and just like on Twitter, like begging for free games constantly. I mean, all the time. Like, hey, how about you hook up somebody with the little YouTube channel? And like you go and then like I follow through. I'll look at the guy's YouTube channel. He's got like 10 views, 5 videos, and they're shit, and they're not even good. Like, I'll, like, you know what? I'll give them a chance. Maybe it's just actually. Nope. Nope, it's not. Not that we do, like, the best shit in the world. I'm not trying to think. Like, I don't have, like, an ego like that. But I know an idiot when I see one. I mean, like, you know what? Takes one to know one. I'm kind of an idiot. These people are real fucking idiots. And, like, and they're just begging for games. Like, you completely missed the point. Like, if you got to beg for it, you're doing it wrong in the first place. It's like, and you know what? Like, you get some free shit, like, you, and then, I think those are probably the same people that have a high likelihood of, like, giving a positive review because they got something, they don't want to, like, piss off the person who gave them something for free. Like, no, you have a job to do. People look up reviews because they want to know whether or not something's worth their money. You didn't pay anything for it. So, like, if you don't have the integrity to say, like, to think, like, about, like, in the context of, like, all right, the person that's going to read my review has to spend money on this, even though I got it for free. If you can't even get into that zone and with your brain, like, you shouldn't be writing the reviews.
Yeah, Viridian, that was kind of one of the instances we ran across early on. One indie game we got, we just flat out didn't like it. And, you know, there was a difference for us, you know, working with larger companies that were giving us review copies of games, that there's an established business model with the larger publishers and with games journalists. And so reviewing that game, honestly, isn't a problem. But there was just like there's kind of unsaid odd expectation from this developer, which I won't name, that he was going to get a good review from us. And it just kind of we started then looking at like our whole policy of how we're going to handle this, because we were looking at growing and, you know, kind of. We had gotten some review copies of larger games and wanted to kind of apply that to the indie game. So we started to see that weird gray area. And then we've also just kind of involved with the site. We're going to review games that we see through and we play that we're interested in playing. That's kind of why we have, you know, we have our rated reviews for full reviews of games that we finish, but we also have these kind of reflex reviews that give you, you know, a reaction after we've only played a few hours. And now we've started this Game Curious video series where you literally see us react instantly for the very first time to a game as we're discovering it, which I think that it informs purchasing decisions for people, or at least for me. Like, I'm gonna pass a certain amount of judgment in that first hour to see if I want to put in the next 3 to 4, let alone all of them, to finish the game. And I think that the opinions are valid and worthwhile to someone every step of the way.
Yeah, you know. Like, I hope that people that get, like, I guess with any site, everyone's like this. You hope that people get to know your personality, mm-hmm. so that, and same thing with Game Curious. You can watch one of our videos and then, you know, see us really get kind of high on a game. But if you know us well enough, or at least since you're seeing it, since with the video stuff, you see it for yourself, you can come to your own conclusion. And that's totally okay. Like, you can say, like, you know what, this game looks stupid. And then hopefully, though, that, you know, you get some entertainment value out of the video because you thought it was funny or whatever.
Well, we did one on an Xbox Live indie game called what was the co-op one with the we were all playing on the same screen.
What, Hidden in Plain Sight?
Hidden in Plain Sight. Yeah. And we were really honest with it, as far as the video starts off with us kind of poking fun at the opening screen. And then getting into the game, getting kind of confused by some of the games in the middle, but then kind of offering an opinion at the end. And I actually, we kind of did this on our own. Josh found the game, and we were looking for something co-op to play. But later, the developers discovered our video, and it was nice that I think he appreciated just kind of the honest
feedback. Yeah.
And it's still kind of like patching the game every now and then, but he posted it and just thought it was interesting the way we handled the video, and that's kind of why we've stuck with that series.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because then we also did Valley Without Wind on that was a Steam game, and that was another indie game, like side scrolling platformer. It's a really kind of different game. It's weird. It's I mean, at its core, it's you're jumping on platforms and you're attacking and, you know, shooting enemies and whatever. And I guess it's kind of, you could say Metroidvania or whatever. But it's got some other weird mechanics, like when you die, that character's gone forever, but you have a new one. And you're building towards fighting an enemy, like, that's too powerful in the beginning, but you're trying to beef up, you know, kind of like fighting Lavos or something. But when that was another thing where, in that game, Curious, we're playing it, and the start of that game is really rough. For just like somebody going in totally cold, we had a hard time with that game at first, and we were really struggling to just do the basics. And the developer jumps in the chat,
yeah,
and live, and starts helping us out, like saying like, oh, do this, do that, and like suddenly like, oh, okay, and we're actually kind of having fun with it. And it was like, well, this is okay. There's a lot to this. Had he not jumped in, we wouldn't have seen half that.
Yeah, I think
I'm sure of it.
And our opinion would have been totally different.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did a...
But that says something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
if it take... If you know, like... This...
I don't feel like... I mean, I feel like that... Yes, there is... There's sometimes the right way to play the game, or if, like, we might miss something.
Yeah.
But you look at our... We did a couple weeks ago, did our La Mulana game, Curious, and it took us about...
Yeah.
15, 20 minutes to figure out the game, but once we got in that groove, it kind of opened up. But I think that's important, you know, if the game's intuitive or not, to understand that. And you know, but there's also just times where I personally might grasp something quicker or less quickly than other players. And
sure, and when you're on a mic, it's hard to concentrate on stuff too. That's another thing. Like,
but
when you're
also,
playing by yourself,
it's kind of also why I've been careful not to call these review videos the Game Curious. Like, I separate out the Game Curious videos from Reflex reviews, where actually we have played it, we have an opinion.
Yeah.
And then the Game Curious is you're witnessing it with us and probably reacting the same way. If
and sometimes going, you idiot!
Oh, yeah.
All you got to do is this one thing. Like, it's not always
idiots.
That obvious. Mm-hmm. Like it's not. And
caution, played by idiots.
Like, you know, there's people out there, and you know. And like I said, you know, when you're on mic'd, it's actually like harder to pick up on that kind of stuff because you have to be conscious of what you're saying. Otherwise, you look like a complete moron. So I think sometimes we're very representative of the average, like the real casual kind of gamer in those regards, in those situations where like you're not like always calling on all your game knowledge to get some things. And we do that, but there are times when we don't. And during those times, like, I think it's a pretty honest look at, like, how would a person who doesn't have any of the knowledge that we would have look at a game? And, like, if a game, and sometimes I get down on games just holding my hand too much, you know, like Pushmo having 18 tutorial levels, that's kind of a painful sticking point for me. But also, there's also the too little. Like, assuming that all your gamers are, like, you know, just constantly playing the similar games that, like, the developer has been playing leading up to the development of that game. Like, you know, games are made by people, and they have a mindset when they go into it, and they come to conclusions. They have decisions they make of, like,
and,
do I add in a little thing here, or do I leave it out and assume the player's not an idiot? And, like, well, you should kind of assume that everyone doesn't have the experience you have. And you can say that's being an idiot, or you can say it's not having experience. Like, and that's an issue sometimes. And you see that in our Game Curious videos, because sometimes we get stuck.
And not to bring up a sore subject, but just sometimes we have differing opinions as far as we talked about the Spelunky video.
Yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm still really, really high on the game. I love it for what it is. And Josh had a completely different experience, but I think the more videos we actually have like that, where we're kind of pushing each other and having different perspectives, I think that's kind of what I hope that series evolves into, that you can hear different opinions or hear different insights, you know, because you'll watch our videos and probably have a different opinion than us. And but so we just kind of put them out there and hope it helps you make informed decisions, or at least, or even just a lot of the game curious videos expand maybe your interest in different genres or different types of games, because we've played,
yeah,
we're trying to play a wide variety of them. And
yeah, and I think we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we play it different platforms, different within that, and like we'll play a AAA game and then we'll play an indie game and whatever. I mean, don't you feel like even with this Spelunky thing, like, you know, like you'll know whether you're like the kind of gamer like Justin, or you're the kind of gamer like me that's just like, I don't.
Well, yeah, watch the Spelunky video compared to the I Want to Be the Guy Gaiden video of mine.
Right.
And you guys had to force the controller out of my hand because wasn't that I was having fun, but I was going to beat that game.
Well, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, exactly. So, hard games in their own ways.
Yeah.
And one more trial and error, the other more. Just like Rube Goldberg, like sequence of events that you just can't control. Like this, it's like kind of out of your hand, kind of. Like if you can see like eight moves ahead, you can kind of see something about to screw you. But I'm not that guy. So so when I'm playing Spelunky, I'm just like, this is frustrating. I don't want to play a frustrating game. Not that I'm like, I mean, but I like Demon Souls, you know, or something like that. But that's a little slower, more deliberate pace, and I can always. And I can kind of see the stuff coming. Like, I can be cautious. Where Spelunky, like, it teases you with, like, it fools you and it lulls you into a sense of, like, overconfidence of, like, man, these controls are so tight. I can do whatever I want. I'm playing, like, blazing speed. It's like holding run down in a Mario game, like, the whole level, you know, that kind of thing. And then, boom, you're dead. Just like that. Like, from a sequence of events you couldn't have seen coming at the speed which they happen. And for me, I'm just like, this is just really frustrating. Like, I have a million other games I could play right now. Justin is like, all right, I can do better. Like, he's like the perseverance guy that's like, you know what? I'm better than this. Like, I'm going to do better. Here, I'm going to go again. And he's like, you know, I'm going to bang my head against that wall until that wall falls down. And I'm like, ow, that hurt the first time I hit my head on the wall. And I'm going to go do something else instead of hit my head on the wall. You're one or the other.
I'm going to change gears here since Ethan just sat down. But we just take a question from chat from Fluffy Waffles 32 wants to know what our opinions are on Terraria. And Ethan, you've played quite a bit of Terraria.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of looking back on it, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think that Terraria really, one, I think it was kind of incorrectly compared to Minecraft or focused with that because there was those building elements to it. But I think it was the first time that I really saw that creation game actually get, you know, that idea of combat right. It was fun to fight, you know, maybe more so than actually building things. But I thought Terraria was an amazing game. I thought it kind of came out of nowhere for me. I saw the trailer and I was just kind of blown away by what they were attempting to do. I was like, there's no way it's all going to come together. And it did. And it was a cheap package. And they followed it up pretty consistently for about a year, though I believe, and that's RE Logic that does that. They're not doing any more follow-up to that. I think they're going to work on a different game. But mm-hmm. I thought that game was great. You know, some of the complaints about it, I understand. You know, there's kind of that aspect of a lot of stuff was being thrown at you, and so that's difficult. But Terraria, overall, the overall package was just pretty incredible. Like, that's actually one of my top gaming memories of, like, the last year. Is actually, I kind of almost fought to have that be Game of the Year that year, but, you know, we were kind of talking
really?
About being indie game,
wow.
too. I put so much time into it.
Really
yeah.
into it.
Yeah, I really did. So, yeah, that is an absolutely great game, and, I mean, it's worth at least visiting based on the fact that it's $9.99.
Yeah, it's $10.
Yeah. But even if it wasn't, I would pay way more money for that game. I mean, I really would.
As a guy who played a shit ton of Minecraft,
mm-hmm.
And I played a lot of Terraria too, I can say that I think the comparisons to Minecraft, they're fair enough.
Some.
Because they're similar enough in that, like, the open worldness and, like, mm-hmm. the, you know, you can build shit and, yeah, you can go explore. But here's the thing. Minecraft, you get more satisfaction out of building stuff than in Terraria,
mm-hmm.
just because it's 3D.
Yeah.
However, Terraria is great, especially for people that like the structure to like questing or the combat. Way more satisfying combat. There's more shit to kill. There's actual like bosses and quests.
Kind of has kind of more of an end game.
Not quests, but you know, So there's you know where the next there's progression to it.
Yep.
Like you know where the next place you got to go. The next thing you got to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what Viridian's saying too.
Yeah. So and that game I played that with my girlfriend who's not super action gamer. She likes games. She plays a lot of games, but not like. Really hardcore action stuff.
Hi, I'm Kylie. Super action gamer.
Super action gamer. But she can play Terraria.
Yeah.
Doesn't like Minecraft so much. I think it's a little bit boring, maybe, or something. I mean, she likes
some
building
stuff.
Somehow
they can combine
like,
Diablo and Terraria.
Well, damn. Yeah.
She'd be hooked.
Yeah, probably so. But yeah, so we played that together like quite a bit for a while. Mm-hmm. That was really fun. And so that, to me, says a lot about the game.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, it's very accessible. And part of it is being 2D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really does add, like, it doesn't take quite as much.
No, absolutely. And just, you know, that was a game that I think just kept getting better. And there was never that time I felt that there was, you know, like the additions kind of hurt the game at all. Like,
sure.
It had a really smooth, you know, here's
it did hit a wall,
product.
Though. Like there was a point in the game where you kind of felt like you would kind of complete it though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Minecraft
exactly.
is just like open, like free form. Like you got to just want to make stuff.
And,
where Terraria, it's because of the progression. Once you finish the progression,
you're
it's
kinda,
like, oh, I'm kind of done.
And that's almost
you're not going to like hang out and build houses in that game.
And that's almost when like then that's when you start playing with a lot of other people and actually like start to do like the PvP verse kind of stuff. That is when it kind of. Again, that next level. You know, it was almost like...
Yeah,
you know,
we didn't get into that, but
That's when it was like, oh, this is... Now this stuff I've been doing, all these weapons I've been trying to gather, all these this equipment I have, now we're battling, now there's monsters. Or, I mean, you can take it to another level, you know? And people did some cool stuff with it, you know? So, I mean, you have bases, you know, so...
Are there, like, mods or anything for that game? Like, because that's one thing that's actually added longevity to Minecraft for me.
I didn't really get into many of the Terraria mods because I think...
There are mods, though.
I'm assuming... I don't know. I actually really do not know. That was one of those games that I never really... I was so kind of enamored by it and kind of just so into it so deep. I didn't really need anything else to like... I didn't really seek out anything else to kind of like... And Minecraft, I had the kind of same thing. Because I was okay with the base package. I didn't really want to explore too much stuff because I really wanted to just take my time with its vanilla form, if you will. So, but I'm sure there is. I mean, and because they're not support. I mean, not that they're not supporting it, but they're not coming out with new updates and things like that. I'm sure that the community should be popping in and you know kind of doing their own thing because it'd be a simple game to kind of add stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it's okay for that game to be like a game that you just finished.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like there's nothing wrong with that to me. No. We got our $10 worth.
Well,
you know,
I think I put like 80 hours.
I think they did a good job with. As far as how directly it was compared to Minecraft without getting... They weren't trying to be Minecraft.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to get in that same development cycle. I mean, Minecraft has a lot of expectations around it, and I don't think they were trying to do that. So for them to get in and get out on a high note, I think that's no small task.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think people might have started to have Minecraft expectations around it, and they could have gotten trapped in, oh, shit, this is the only game that we can do and can support. And obviously, whatever happened with those guys, they're probably moving on to other things.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like separately, but...
Sure.
Well, and as fans, we're like, oh, we want more. But, I mean, realistically, as a developer, just like if you're an actor, you don't want to be pigeonholed into, like, one role. I mean, as a developer, you want to be able to have a library of games and to be able to have success... based on that as opposed to just, nope, we're the Terraria guys. I mean, you never want to be kind of connected completely with that, though it's good to have that success and jump off from that. But I mean, just like Mojang, I mean, they're trying to expand upon that. They don't just want to be Minecraft. They want to be Mojang.
Final follow-up question before we jump into the games here. Fluffy Waffles has put over 500 hours into Terraria.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
Wow.
Kind of curious where you ended up with Terraria, and then Josh, where you're at with Minecraft.
I think I capped that about 100. I set up my own server. We played
that's,
for about 3 months.
That's a lot too.
I think I probably capped it. But there were so many other games I like. Not that I had to play, but we were. I mean, there was a lot of games that came out that year. I mean, so it was. The fact that I put 100 hours into it.
Even stop talking about Terraria. Write something else.
Yeah. That kind of. There was kind of.
No, not. I don't care. write about something other than Terraria and Fallout New Vegas. For God's sakes.
That was a year of like, yeah, I was completely addicted.
What about Minecraft for you, Josh?
That's really hard to put a number to. I played a lot of Minecraft between my here's one thing. I've never played that game single player. I have had since maybe after it got, like, it started really catching on for after a few months. I bought it when it was, like, at its cheapest point, I think. So whatever that time frame that is.
He bought it when it was the coolest to buy it.
Like 2 years ago or something, yeah. I guess, now or whatever. And we made a server. I've got a private server just for, like, close friends. And we've been playing on that, and we were on our 9th or 10th world, probably. I'm sure I've played 100 hours of that at least.
Mm-hmm.
But between that and like our summer camp stuff with my day job, and like there's a lot of, I spend a lot of time with the game, but that's one where I keep going to the multiplayer aspect of it and the, group building project stuff, you know, and the mods. Because every time we make a new world, I'm usually putting on a new mod, or we've got just a new version of Minecraft that adds new shit, if it's vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot of time with Minecraft. Terraria, I don't know how much time, but it's like kind of played it to like, you know, we beat the wall of flesh boss. Mm-hmm. And that was like, we're kind of done with it now. So I haven't played it since then. But I was mostly playing that with my girlfriend co-op. So
these are two of the games that I just appreciate from a distance, because again, this is where my, my gaming paralysis kicks in. There's just too many options of Minecraft, too many options of Terraria. I will literally sit there for 15 minutes and not do anything on screen, 'cause I can't decide what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like I said, I don't know if it's just the way my brain works. I feel like I have to blueprint out what I want to do before, or I won't do anything. I'll just like dig a hole to the middle of the earth. And
that's the thing. Like, so, if you play single player, you get stuck like that. Yeah, you're playing with multiple. Like, with
what are we
friends,
doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, you're going like, hey, that's what I always do. Like, there's one of my friends, Mike. I can always say like, dude, group project time, and I can say like, we're gonna turn this mountain into a hidden bait. Like, we would have a mod, like we had a mod on that's called Movecraft that lets you make like vehicles. So we made like airships and shit, and like one time I added it on the server, didn't tell him, and I said, dude, let's make an airship. He's like, okay, cool. And he thought we were just like making a stationary thing on the ground that's like, it looks like it's parked.
Yeah.
And then we made it, and it was like a couple of hours of like making this. It was a really cool looking airship, you know, a dirigible. And we get in it, and I'm like, okay, let's fly it. Like, go up to the captain's thing.
Use your imagination.
Hey, Ethan.
Yeah.
Say
yeah.
Dirigible. Dirigible.
Oh, damn it.
And so we get in this thing. I'm like, okay. And I type the command to like make it fly. And then like, I'm doing it. I'm moving it. And he's like, holy shit. What? I can't, we were not sitting in the same room, but I mean, I could tell from his typing that he's going, I know where the face he's making. Oh shit. I mean, and, that's like a cool moment. And so we've done a lot of that shit. Like we had projects where we're trying to make an entire city, like, Hotlantis.
Oh,
a big domed water city, and then we had these like magic spell again mods. Had this thing where I could make giant, basically like I spawned giant wooden penises.
Useful mod.
Of course, I did that over the city, thinking I could. I don't know what I was doing. I thought I could get rid of it or whatever. I screwed it up. The water physics in the game wonked up big time.
Wonked.
They fucked everything up to the point where we ended up saying, like, scrap the city, and we moved. We made New Hotlantis, and we had probably a dozen people.
New Hotlantis.
Yeah. New Hotlantis, and we had, like, a dozen people working on this city, and it looked like a city in a bay, and it was really cool. We were going to put a big glass dome over it. That didn't happen, but we did make this, like, cool city. We had, like, Freedom Towers, had the bottom floor was an American flag on a ground, and then like we had a working elevator because it's elevator mod. You hit a button and the elevator comes to you, and you can pick a floor and shit. It was like really cool shit.
So if you were an architect, you'd be like, okay, this is great, but it needs a big glass dome over the top of it. Like that's imagine you would always be trying to validate a gigantic glass dome, and glass domes are really tough to make in that game.
Yeah, that's
a lot of work. Yeah,
without like creative mode and weird survival mode, like that is a lot of work.
Yeah,
a lot of work to make a giant one.
Yeah,
you're talking thousands and thousands of glass blocks. that you have to make in furnaces.
Yeah.
And you have to go get the sand to do it in the first place and bake it and then have somebody build this fucking thing. And don't fuck up the geometry.
Well,
otherwise, it's like weird and it's and like an oval.
If you mess up, then you break the glass and you have to make new glass. It's not like the other blocks that you can replace. I mean, you just all this glass all over the place. You're going to cut your toes.
Right.
Last thing, because this is kind of related, but Copper Skull just reminded me. We put up a story on the Kickstarter for Castle Story. I think, Ethan, you and I watched that trailer. You've seen the trailer?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
So it's kind of in the vein of Minecraft, but it seems like you've basically got this army or population of workers that are helping you build your castle, and then other creatures in the world end up attacking your castle, and it looks like it evolves from just building sandbox game to actually kind of RTS style of command over your army. And just curious on your thoughts of that from that trailer.
Ton of potential. Yeah. I want to see it in motion. I mean, that's one of those games you look at, you're like, man, like that.
I've been sifting through a lot of bullshit on Kickstarter.
And
that was one of the first trailers in the past month or so that actually that looked like a pretty solid concept that's well on its way and has a lot of potential.
But by the time that comes out, we will have maybe experienced a polished version of Zomboid, a release of Fortnite. And you know, maybe other games that will have incorporate the open worldness and the building and stuff like that. And I mentioned Zomboid because like that's one where you can, I think the spirit is there of like, you know, you can like, you know, board up windows and all that kind of shit. Like it's all about like how much control you have over the world around you. I think that's what like makes Minecraft, you know, so great, really. I mean, it's Legos, you know, but like you always think you're always so limited in games, like in your interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And like Fortnite, especially, I think is going to take that to like another level and introduce it in a way that makes sense for the average gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, yeah, you're playing a shooter and whatnot, but you're like you're building your own defenses with like a and I think that's not going to be just like, I mean, Minecraft, it's a 1x1 block on top of 1x1 block, and you know, and that's like it is like you have this like a million of the little one piece Legos. And with like Fortnite, it looks like it's going to be more of like taking real objects and using them in like whatever way you want,
mm-hmm.
in like whatever angle you want, and that kind of thing. And as the physics engines or the interaction, like the programming and stuff, gets more advanced, I think we're going to kind of move beyond some of that simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how does the gameplay hook me in?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Minecraft won't be enough. It's like,
yeah.
We want a Minecraft with, it's like there are mods, like people like the Hunger Games mod or the hardcore survival stuff like that. Like you, like those, and the PvP stuff, Race for the Wool, like those kinds of mods that add some actual goals to the game. So, you know, we'll see, like, who's got the... It's like, people will start adding into the games, like, the way you interact with the world is you know, it's like, it's not limited at all. And then, but what's the gameplay hook? And what is it you want to play? And I think shooters is what people want to play. Like, mm-hmm. the average person... I mean, sales. The sales numbers say that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people like. So, it's those two things together that are really gonna grab people. So, you know, that and so, yeah, back to your point, like that game looks great and I hope it's, you know, it does well and whatnot, but I think that you're gonna see maybe other games do that stuff better, or they'll be more popular or something. So
yeah.
I think it'll just be a thing. It's like, some people just start adding in those features as like side features. Like they won't be the main hook of the game. It's like, it's a shooter, and then it also has like, oh yeah, and you can also like build a house from scratch, you know, like that'll be just like a little side thing. I don't know. We'll see.
You guys ready to do some gaming?
Future
gaming.